You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? This is The Startup with Monique Leray. Happy Sunday. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers out there. And today we have a really great show and a very unique guest coming all the way from Nashville. Before I intro her, I wanted to recap a little bit for some things that we're doing. Guys, we're going to be doing a private screening in New York for the Pandemic Project documentary during Tribeca. So we'll send some more info out via social media, but I'm excited to get that going and hopefully drop the trailer for the Pandemic film. I know I've been saying that forever, but I want it perfect. And I'm a little inundated right now, but once I get it perfect, it will be out to you. And that'll be the international version. And we have one more trip for the Endemic Project documentary, which will be in South Africa this August. But if you guys have a story and you know someone in South Africa, an entrepreneur or survivor, again, no political interests at all. We're looking just for the human story during this time. So you can email us on capaquariusmedia@gmail.com. These glasses are on their way out, guys. I love them, but they're tilted. all right. Also, if you are a brand and you want to come out during ESPYs Week, we have the ESPYs Week Celebrity Gifting Suite in Beverly Hills, July 11th and 12th. I'll get you those dates. I think it's one of the two dates there. Email us if you have a brand, capaquariusmedia@gmail.com. All right, guys, without further ado, I have a really exciting guest here today, Sherry from IamSimplySherry.com. Sherry, how's it going? How are you?
I'm great today. Thank you, Monique. Actually, I'm fabulous today. It's a wonderful, happy Sunday, Mother's Day, and here we are.
Yes. And I heard your mom's in the kitchen cooking up something amazing. So that sounds like a special treat afterwards.
I sure wish you could be in my house right now and smell what's going on.
I would love that. Amazing.
She is a great, I learned how to cook from my fabulous mommy.
I love this. Okay, great. So why don't you give a full intro? I think the listeners and the viewers are going to be very excited to learn more about you. So go ahead and tell us who you are.
Thank you. So I'm Sherry Holzer of Simply Sherry, and I'm located here in Nashville, Tennessee, just for the last 2 years. And it's absolutely amazing here. But I am a nutrition health coach and a food strategist. And I also happen to be a second generation Greek American. And I am just on a mission in my life to help bring not only the health and wellness benefits that come from the Mediterranean lifestyle to the communities, but more importantly, the sense of community and the joy and zest for food and cooking and eating and having a great life.
I love that. We need more of that, more satisfaction in our home life and in our health, food, and things, you know, that are going to make you happy, and you don't have to overthink it. It sounds like you've come up with the perfect genius balance of exactly that. Now, we know from research and science that Japanese culture encourages longevity. Right. We know that a Mediterranean diet does that as well. So being that you're one of those regions in the world that do promote longevity, tell us a little more about exactly what you promote in the nutrition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, first of all, Monique, you're absolutely right that the Japanese culture and several others, and including those that the countries that center around the Mediterranean Sea, Spain, Italy, Greece, they live and eat foods that are what a lot of people would like to call today as whole foods, if you will, minimally. You can't say non-processed these days, because unless you're just holding an apple or an orange, something's been processed. Okay. Yeah. It's just not highly processed foods, but really it's about what those people eat, foods that are local, that are seasonal, that are fresh, and they eat a very plant forward type of a diet. So like, Monique, do you know when I say plant forward, what I'm even referring to?
I do. I think I do. I am very plant forward myself, but go ahead and re-educate me in case I got it wrong.
Excellent. Because a lot of people say, I'll say it and people say, oh, I don't want to be vegan, or, you know, not, which nothing's wrong with that, but that's what they'll think. But really all it is, it's plant forward means let's start adding and increasing on our plate on a daily basis, more fruits, more vegetables, more plants. Yes. And then you still have the meats. If you want to have red meat or you want to have fresh poultries, it's just a matter of taking a look though of where those products are coming from and choosing the best quality.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Yes, I think that's very important to do that. And, you know, tell me, you know, about like the busy mom and dad out there, right? That's just trying to, you know, hey, they're just exhausted by the end of the day and they're trying to get something healthy on the plates there for their kids, their family. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they've got to go fast and quick. What should they implement in that? In those situations, in those scenarios?
Well, that is absolutely a great question. And in my work, so I work, I teach cooking classes. I also work with individual, a lot of really busy, successful women who may or may not have children, and they want to learn how to prepare good, healthy meals for their family. Well, I've decided that for me, and over the course of the years of the working with different people, that I feel the most comfortable sharing with everyone to be able to create meals that are just what I say, like based in reality. Like I can go with the best of them with recipes that are super intricate and have a lot of things happening. Absolutely. But for that mom in particular that you're mentioning, or dad, who is bringing food to the table at the end, everybody's running. You got soccer practice and classes and tutoring and piano lessons, all those things that happen, right? Then the last thing anybody wants to really do is go, okay, now I'm going to open up this recipe and I'm going to, you know, start doing something for an hour and a half to cook something fancy. No. When I say reality and we connect this to the plant forward Mediterranean lifestyle, think this. Think my one of my son's favorite meals, which was pasta, broccoli, chicken. All right. And you might think, wait, pasta, broccoli, chicken, like how is that so great? Well, first of all, you can get a meal like that on the table in 15 minutes, first of all.
Wow.
One pot, you can have chicken that's prepared ahead of time, or you're just pounding some chicken really quickly so it's nice and thin and it cooks up on a pan in 5 minutes flat. But the difference is in making it a more elevated, healthier meal for you are ingredients.
Nice. Okay?
Yeah. So when you're buying a pasta, for example, you're buying a pasta that doesn't have enriched flours. You're buying a pasta that's made with a whole wheat Italian germ semolina, perhaps. It looks like you were going to ask a question.
No, I'm listening. I'm digesting. Sorry, I'm excited.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Or and then you throw in a bunch of vegetables, and it looks, well, for us it was broccoli because that was my kid's favorite. And then I'm buying chicken, and chicken isn't just chicken. It can be, but if you want to have that better for you experience, you're buying perhaps a pasture-raised organic chicken breast.
Got it.
Which actually truly does have more nutrient, that there's a higher nutrient value for you. So you're taking something that's basic, pasta, broccoli, chicken, and you're elevating it, and you're making this friendly for your kids, and you're making it really friendly for you, because I get that a lot of us don't want to eat a giant bowl of just pasta. No problem. You do it with balance. Instead, you have a small, realistic serving of pasta, and you've got tons of this broccoli, or maybe you throw in some more spinach or whatever else you want in with your portion of chicken. So now it's this delicious meal, but it's more in balance with that plant forward versus the heavier carbohydrate forward meal.
Wonderfully put. And I think that what you're taking, and you're taking something just so simple. And by the way, the time frame is perfect for anybody's schedule, 15 minutes, I mean, to eat better. And it sounds like that meal can be reheated the next day or the day after. You can put something in the middle and not have the same thing two nights in a row, but you could do it on a Monday and then have it again on a Wednesday. Absolutely. So it recycles itself, right?
I'm all about that. In fact, I have a cooking course that I was teaching, actually a lot of clients still from Los Angeles, a Cooking with Confidence club. And we would meet and cook every week. Additionally, I have some cooking in videos that are on my an online nutrition course that I have. And in those in on the online program and when I'm doing something via video with my people, you will never see me make a meal without saying, hold on, just a minute. Here's how we're going to take this meal and turn it into at least one, if not several other meals.
Wow.
It's so easy. You're going to make that chicken. Don't just throw two pieces on. Make extra. Chop it up ahead of time. Freeze it in packets. Put it in the refrigerator. Put it in the freezer. Take it out. Throw it on your salad the next day.
Smart. Right?
You can do anything. You can make it for your breakfast in the morning. Have cold little packages. There's a million things you can do.
I love it. And I love your passion for it too. It reminds me when I used to work at the gym, 24-hour fitness, and you know, you do the meal plans for people and you'd help them transform their lives. How did you get into this and have it become a journey, a passion project? And we'll get to the other piece, the other fun piece of this too. Sure. But how did you get into the nutrition portion of what you do?
So I have always actually my whole life had an interest in nutrition and also in fitness. I used to dance and I said mother that you know, out there cooking, I used to watch her dating myself. so I used to watch her do these exercises to Jack LaLanne. I don't know if
anybody yes
knows who Jack LaLanne
is. Of course I do. Shout out to Wonder Film. My friend at Wonder Film, Jeff Bowler, just launched a Jack LaLanne documentary with Mark Wahlberg. Shout out to them. Be looking for that. Side note. Go ahead.
Okay. That Jack LaLanne actually started instilling the desire and passion for me by watching my mom and watching that program for being healthy and fit, especially as we're aging.
Yeah.
So I always had an interest. And then in my early 20s, mm-hmm. I went to work in the pharmaceutical industry.
Oh.
So I had developed such a passion for understanding not only the need for Western medicine, because there is, but within that field, it was necessary for me to also understand very much how our bodies work. And I started taking a look a little bit more into what we call dis-ease. Our body is not in its ease state, right? And I saw that while medication absolutely has a place, one of the things that was missing for me was the nutrition component. What, let food be thy medicine be thy food.
Yes, great points. Beautiful points. Yeah, keep going. I'm loving it.
It's true. And then I also personally got involved in the, let's say, I think it was in the late 80s, early 90s? I don't know. I can't even remember. But there was this whole phase, Monique, I don't know if you would remember about this, but the marketing world of food community was sharing with all of us that we needed to have fat-free foods.
Yeah.
And we were using artificial sweeteners in everything.
Everything. This was the Slim Fast time, I think, or those wafers. My mom would eat them like, yeah, I remember this.
What were those cookies?
What were those cookies? Because I would eat them all the time and I was still developing. Oh, I didn't know.
Oh, God. And now I'm blanking on the name of the
cookies. Oh, my gosh. I know. They're like a wafer, right?
Yes. And they're really, they're just terrible for you.
Yeah. They were horrible. We didn't know.
And always when you know better, you can make a choice to do better, but we only knew what we knew.
Yeah.
So over time, based on the knowledge that I gained about how the body works, mm-hmm. right. And then my own, delving into this lifestyle, which by the way, was very detrimental and unhealthy for me. Oh. I didn't know at the time, but now we do know, and it happened to a lot of other people as well, in particular women, the influx of sugar and sweeteners into our body and the depletion of healthy fats that we need for our mind to function properly. All of that really caused me to have, I didn't feel well ever. I didn't know why. I actually, you know, sure, if somebody cares just about the weight issue, yeah, I was thin, But that's irrelevant. Yeah. I didn't feel good.
When you don't feel good, it does not matter.
No.
Nothing matters if you don't feel well.
It doesn't matter. And it's just so cliche constantly with, you know, if you don't have your health, you have nothing. True. I say cliche because we kind of say it and we throw it out there. But it really, really is the truth. Mm-hmm. And so then later on in my life, I decided to look further. What can I do with this information? Everybody was always asking me about in my family, like calling me up and saying, "What? I have this ailment. Like, what's wrong? How would you diagnose?" I'm not a doctor, but, you know, when you're in that world. And then I decided to go and become certified as an integrative nutrition health coach because I love supporting other people. I love helping. And I'm kind of a big cheerleader for everyone. I really do care a lot about humans, other humans. Mm-hmm. And I decided that I needed to become certified in that particular arena of integrative wellness, because I think that it's important to look at the whole picture. And that means what I said to you when I started off back in the day working in the pharmaceutical industry, there's a place for all that. There's a place for, you know, I'm exaggerating, but, you know, wheatgrass and meditation and Zen and like all the things you want to say, there's a place for all of it, but we have to integrate that into our day-to-day lives. We can't just, I don't think it's okay to just be extreme in one area or the other.
Yes. Well put together. And I'm loving the backstory. Thank you for sharing that with us and kind of how you got here, you know, the pebbles on your path, so to speak. And speaking of which, let's talk a little more about this fun way you've integrated nutrition with a activity that I've heard about more this week than ever before. It's hot right now, I guess, or it's been hot. I don't know where I've been. Tell us more about this and your book and just everything, how it's come together.
Yeah. So what is that word, Monique? It's pickleball. I think it's one of the top SEO searches right now, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, it's crazy.
It is crazy. Well, you know why too? I think, and I hope he's doing okay. Jamie Foxx's daughter just posted about pickleball.
Oh, she did. Oh,
so I think that's why it was on my, it was in my realm, because with pop culture, So I think that's.
Well, and I know that from what I've seen as well, I know that he is an enthusiast and plays. There are numerous celebrities who play, which I think is giving it quite the buzz as well. But I was a tennis player, like many people who play pickleball and many who weren't, just pick it up. But I knew tennis, but I didn't know from pickleball, but I started hearing, you know, a little bit of buzz about it about, gosh, just about 2 years ago.
Right.
And everybody that I threw that word out to was kind of like, what, pickleball? I don't know, because it hadn't translated yet. I mean, I will tell you in the last year, don't quote me on the statistic, but it went from 3.5 million people who had played pickleball in that year to this year, from last year to this year, I believe it's around 9 million is what I meant to say. From 5 million to 9 million.
Wow. I wish I had that investment tip. Tell me, what is pickleball and why the craze?
Well, so what it is, it's played with a paddle. So it's not a full racket, it's a paddle, and it's a smaller version, sort of like a tennis court, a small net, and it takes up less space, and it's played with a ball that has holes in it. A lot of people will say it's akin to a wiffle ball type of thing, so sort of a mixture of ping pong, wiffle ball, paddle ball, that kind of thing.
Right.
But here's what made me fall in love with it and decide that I needed to be a part of this community. Not just because it's an amazing, fun sport, but also because of what I do and wanting to nurture and help others in their wellness. I wanted to have it be part of that community.
Okay.
Because this pickleball world is the coolest community. Honestly, I have to say it's one of the coolest communities ever, because people, first of all, the entry to barrier is minimal. It's very, in terms of what your cost is, you can actually go to your Target store and for $40, I think, get the package with like two or four paddles and a net that you could put out on your driveway.
Easy installation. Yeah.
Or obviously there are higher end things to do, but the barrier to entry really is easy. Okay. Plus, it's such a dynamic, welcoming community. And these people, you can play if you are 3, 4, 5 years old, all the way to being, you know, in your late 80s, 90s, and God bless anybody, you know, older than that. And everything in between, from being a pro and, you know, being on the pro circuit now to moms that play. I mean, it welcomes everybody.
Oh, it does. I love that.
I think that that's the thing. And also, if you haven't played, and I hope, Monique, that I hope we can get you out. Maybe Jamie Foxx will hear you and grab you and when he's well and have you come out to his court.
I love it.
But what you'll see is that when you show up, I mean, you show up to a court, you don't have to have something planned out. You find a place that's playing pickleball near you in your neighborhood, and yes, you literally walk up and you say, "Hi, like, I'm new. I either don't know how to play or I'd like to play." And hello, you know, Monique, Sherry, come on in.
Really? It's that easy, huh?
It is that darn easy.
I love it. Is the ball shaped like a pickle? Is that?
It is not shaped like a pickle. It is not shaped like a pickle. There's a whole story behind it. It began in Bainbridge Island, like in the 60s. I believe, and there's a story that it had to do with somebody's dog named Pickle, but I don't, Pickles I think was the dog's name, but I don't actually think that's the truth. But yeah, okay. You have to research and find out what the exact story is, but no, the ball does not look like a pickle.
Okay. Having a blonde moment, everybody. Okay. Shout out to blondes. All right. So let's get the title of your book and let's plug this bad boy. Tell us, everybody, what's the reveal, Sherry?
All right. So it is called Everything But the Kitchen Dink.
Very good.
And I think, so, you know, I think I told you a little earlier, for those people who know pickleball, kitchen, when you play pickleball, you get yourself to the kitchen and you are in and out of that kitchen all day long. So for me, pun completely intended. And yes, and you dink the ball. So to me, that's like a little play on drink, dink, drink as well. And the book is so fun. I have fun recipes that are healthy, but accessible to everyone, from breakfast to appetizers and drinks that you want to put together for the girls after playing a game, or for the family to have a brunch together. It's really a very fun book, but it also, I share in there a little bit about my background and the Mediterranean lifestyle and why I think it is an important lifestyle choice to indulge in a little bit and, you know, get your foot wet in, so that you can play pickleball and all the things else that you want to do and stay healthy for the long run. Cause I personally want to be that gal that's 90 something out there kicking some butt on the pickleball court.
Just like Jack LaLanne, right? You know, put your little leg warmers on, whatever. Oh my God. I love it, Sherry. So why don't you, at this juncture, give everyone your social handles, where they can order the book. I'm guessing Amazon, but let's go ahead and give us that data so we can get a hold of your book.
You got it. So first of all, I'm on Instagram at I am simply Sherry. Okay. Nice. And my book actually will not be available yet until I'm going to have pre-order next month. So you can go to my website, which is iamsimplysherry.com.
Great.
And you can send me a message and let me know that you're interested in pre-ordering and I will get you hooked up.
I like that, creating a buzz. You took a page out of, Hermes and Louis Vuitton and their bags ordering. I remember that. Give the credit card, get the bag a little later. I love that. We were just talking about that in class, you know, creating demand. And I think you've got something that people they didn't know they needed it, but now I know I need your book and I need to learn about pickleball. And I'm already sold on the Mediterranean. I love Mediterranean food. I already had, I mean, I'm hooked on garbanzo beans. It's crazy. I already had.
Okay, Monique.
I love it.
Guess what? You need to, when you get my cookbook,
yes,
I have a dill pickle hummus recipe.
That sounds good.
It is insane. Even if you didn't think you liked pickles with your hummus, it is over the top. It is just delicious and easy, easy peasy to make.
That sounds amazing. I just had some spicy hummus, so now I want it more. And the pickles sound great. All this talk about pickles, everybody. I want it. So, you know, I'm headed back to Greece probably March, April of next year. And it's for my curriculum. I mean, we're not sure yet. They haven't announced it, but I think that's where we're headed. And it's funny because everything's been about Greece this last week as well. Give us some tips, some quick tips for Mother's Day. You know, a little Greek one and two that we could cook tonight. What do you have? Anything for us? A little quick. I'm putting you on the spot now. But
that's okay.
Really smelling. What are the smells in your kitchen right now?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, my Greek salad is a must. Okay. It's called Horiatiki salad, which means Greek salad. We don't eat it with lettuce, by the way. Okay. That is not traditional. Okay. With really great Greek feta made from only sheep's milk, not cow's milk. That's what you need to have with some really good Kalamata olives and a lot of fresh oregano.
Everything, all of it. I might have to do that tonight. Yeah. I needed to go to Whole Foods.
Oh, and then get yourself, if you want to have something that's quick and easy as well and delicious, get yourself some chicken. Get some pasteurized chicken, cut it up in some cubes, and put some really good olive oil, a bunch of oregano, a million cloves of garlic. Not really, but I think you know what I'm saying. A lot of garlic in there, lemon zest, really fresh and easy, a little salt, fresh pepper, and just throw it right onto a grill pan.
Oh.
Put it on that salad, make some hummus and a little pita bread, and you're good.
Oh my goodness. And for the people that don't eat meat, I don't eat meat, but I will put some Beyond Meat on that bad boy or maybe, some fish. Oops, there they go.
Do that with some salmon, the same marinade with salmon in cubes.
Yes.
Absolutely delicious.
How do we say perfecto or amazing in Greek?
In Greek. Well, if something's really, really great, right, you're going to eat it, you're just going to say to yourself, just going to say out loud, Opa Yasu.
Opa Yasu. Okay. Yeah.
When you get to Greece, you've got to say that. Opa Yasu. Opa. In fact, I tell everybody who comes in my house for any of my, I do Greek culinary experiences. Ooh. And at the end of the class, I line everybody up with a little shot of ouzo.
Oh yeah.
So just a little bit because it's got, that traditional Greek drink. And then we hold up our little thing, we take a little sip and we say, Opa.
I love it.
Everybody needs a little Opa in their lives.
We love it, Sherry. We definitely do. We need your Greek salad. We need your pickleball. And we did all. And so you guys get this book. Go ahead and plug the book one more time, Sherry.
Everything But the Kitchen Dink. Go to my website at iamsimplysherry.com and send me a message and I will get you hooked up with pre-order.
I love it. Make sure your team sends me a copy. I need to get on that. And we're going to talk more about July and what we talked about off air. Sherry, thank you for making time and sharing yourself with us on Mother's Day and your mother sharing you with us on this Mother's Day. Have a beautiful rest of your weekend and come back when you drop the book. We'd love to have you.
I'd be honored, Monique. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful rest of the night.
Oh my gosh, you too. Thank you so much, Sherry. All right, guys, that was Sherry with Everything But the Kitchen Dink. And it's a pickleball game, recipes, Mediterranean recipes cookbook, all in one. I think it's amazing. I am so excited. All right, without further ado, we have our next guest, Ann Wolf Anderson. How are you? How's it going? Wolf Anderson, hi.
I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us on Mother's Day. I'm not sure where you are in the world right now, but thank you for being here.
Yeah, right now I'm in New York City, but I am based in Texas primarily. So,
oh, nice. Okay, yeah. Well, we love New York. So, tell us about you. Go ahead and introduce yourself to the LA Talk community and who you are.
Well, my name is Ann Wolf Anderson, and I am an organizational and personal development coach. I'm also a certified consultant for the Six Levers organizational operating system. Yeah. And I've done all the things in my life. So
I've done all the things.
Organization and business. I primarily work with, through the Bravery Strategy, we work with business owners and entrepreneurs, and we help them overcome a lot of the fear and anxiety that comes with breaking through to that next level in their businesses. So it's funny, people get very comfortable working at a certain level in their lives and in their businesses. And often there's something in the back of their mind telling them, just sort of like beckoning to them of like going to the next level, or maybe starting their business, or developing some sort of a culture program within their organization, or finding a way to remove themselves a little bit from their organization, from the day-to-day operation. And there's a lot of fear and anxiety around moving into that next phase. And so we specialize in working with those business leaders to help them find, harness their own power and their bravery, and to make that next step something that is empowering to themselves and the rest of their organizations as well. So,
wow, that's a really timely topic, actually, Anne, because I feel like post-COVID, the endemic phase, you know, people regaining where their footing, where they are mm-hmm. personally, business-wise, what that's looking like, cleaning up the clutter, which I'm in the middle of doing that in my space right now, mm-hmm. but the mental clutter too, right? I mean, are you
seeing? Absolutely.
Yeah, you're right on time.
Yeah, no, it's really difficult. I mean, it's difficult for my partner and I, and that's why we see the value, you know, both of us separately, you know, we've known each other for quite some time. We've had a lot in common. And finally, we both were at these stages in our careers where we were really wanting to work with business owners to help them just harness the power that they have within them. A lot of people don't realize how powerful they are because that clutter is in the way. And both Tim, my partner, and I separately were able to start moving forward and be able to harness that bravery and that power within us when we started working with coaches, because that is how you can start really separating expectations from what you know for yourself is right. And it's so much harder to do that than it is to recognize the value of that. It's much harder to do it. And so we use a lot of different tools. I think what is really magical about the Bravery Strategy is how we integrate a lot of other tools that were developed by other incredible people. There's so much out there, and it really is mastering those tools and working with individuals to create tailored programming for them, leaning on some of those tools of people that people have developed who've come before. So the hero's journey is definitely a big, big thing that we work with our clients on.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yes. And so can you give me an idea of, you know, what's your idea? I know that you work with vast, you know, your mm-hmm. range is everywhere, but where's your ideal client going to land on the spectrum there for you?
So Tim and I specialize a little differently. Our ideal client. So if we were to have our ideal client that was utilizing all of the tools and really letting us go like at our greatest pace with all of the things and integrating, it's we would be working with usually food and beverage organization who has several concepts and who really want to start harnessing their culture and recognize the value of investing in all of their stakeholders and making sure that everyone is aligned with the same purpose, with the same storytelling, and able to connect their purpose in life with the purpose of the organization. And so I always recommend working one-on-one with the owner operator or the CEO to just really get to know them really well, understand their story. And then we can start looking at their business to see if we need to tweak the story for their business and get that mission really clear, tweak it. Some people have it down really well. So we don't reinvent the wheel for those who have certain aspects of their organization really solid. Okay. We just look at where we can tweak and help, and then we can work with their teams through group workshops, et cetera, getting them all aligned around those key aspects of the organization and really connected to how that serves their bigger purposes in life.
Wow. This is, you know, quite brave in many ways, because it sounds like, especially with the food and drink, you know, that business, the beverage business, you know, you're getting ahead of a lot of things on the back end, right? With human resources and mm-hmm. stuff, you're kind of attacking it in the front, and yeah. you're creating a culture in the front. Give us some examples of maybe some things you've done recently, or I know you probably have an NDA, you can't tell us which clients, but you know, what could we, if we were to take you on, mm-hmm. What would we expect? I know that everything's uniquely framed.
Yes.
Yeah. Well,
you know, we've worked recently with an organization here in New York who they have several concepts, and you know, they were great guys. It was a brother owner, they're brother owner operators, great guys, really valued their employees. And it's a struggle. You really have to empathize with a lot of the owners and operators, especially of food and beverage businesses, because the traditional wisdom is that it's difficult to invest in your team a whole lot of time and energy, because in food and beverage, there's a high turnover rate.
Yeah.
And correlation is not necessarily causation. The fact that it's food and beverage is not what causes the turnover necessarily. It really is if you can connect your employees to how them serving their customers, your customers and the organization, how that serves them, you have a totally different situation.
Yeah.
You will get people who will be there forever, or they'll give you plenty of notice letting you know what their life goals are, and they can actually utilize what's the opportunities available through the organization for their own life goals. So we worked with this organization, multiple concepts. They just felt like their revenue wasn't quite as high as they wanted it to, and people just didn't seem to connect as well as they felt like they could. And so we worked with the brothers one-on-one. And we spent some time getting to know the different concepts, and we were able to use the six levers. So we use an organizational framework called the six levers organizational operating system. Okay. And that's super helpful, because especially with food and beverage, owners often, they have this great idea and they have these great contacts, and they sort of just make it up as they go along. And that's what my partner, Tim, did.
Bootstrapping, totally right? Bootstraps.
Totally. Like she moved to Texas from New York, had no idea how to make some money. It was going through a divorce and just started throwing these really fabulous parties because she could cook. And that's what she used to do in New York, and integrated all these artists into it. It was like the place to be, the thing to do. And, you know, and then she created a catering business around that. And so what a lot of business owners don't understand is you don't have to reinvent the wheel. There are structures out there that help you understand how to align your mission and vision around your goals, how to set up your meeting rhythm so that the meetings that you have actually are productive and they make sense and they don't go off on tangents and put on rabbit holes. And the reason you meet is actually accomplished in that meeting. Mm. And it can seem so overwhelming and chaotic, but once you are able to put that structure in place, then you can actually really extract the unique magic of your organization and your team and help them really connect and feel like they have a sense of purpose. And, you know, a mission, and we're very passionate about mission-driven organizations. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you don't have to be trying to cure cancer or solve world hunger to be a mission-driven organization.
This sounds interesting.
Like a lot of people don't realize that actually really believing in service to all of your stakeholders through your organization, that's a mission. Mm-hmm. Like I believe mission or business is a huge opportunity for everyone involved to become better versions of themselves. And if you as a business owner or leader are able to really embrace that and integrate that into how you run your organization and your expectations of yourself and others, and it's not easy. It's not easy. It's, you know.
And not to cut you off, but you hit on something really important, Anne, and it isn't easy in the beginning. And I've had this conversation with myself first and then with others. And I just said recently to someone, you know, and I don't think she appreciated what I was saying. And I said it in the nicest way I could. But I said, you know, if we don't attend to our stuff, our shit, excuse me, we curse on the, if we don't attend to our dysfunction and, you know, really identify those things, it's going to trickle into your business. And you have to be honest with yourself about where you're fucked up. You have to.
100%. And I mean, I, you know, my personal story is, you know, I was homeless at 18.
Wow.
Was pregnant right after high school. My son is 24 years old now. Well, about to be nuclear engineer in the Navy.
Wow.
I put myself through school and worked service industry jobs. And I mean, I've done all of the things. And
you really have done all the things.
And it really wasn't until, and I was raised Mormon, you know, and I threw all of that out. And then, so through business though, and I thought I was going to be an artist. I was like, oh yeah, I'm homeless, but you know, this happens sometimes. And the, you know, with great artists, they, it's really
take the hippie approach. Take the hippie approach.
Right. And I thought I was going to be a writer, and the idea of business was like, oh, I would never, you know, and then I ended up with a job with sales in the title, and I was like embarrassed, but that is where I learned through structure, your highest self and the most unique, valuable things that you have to offer the world, you're able to bring those forth by putting certain things in place. And so instead of limiting, it's actually freeing, and it expands your capability and your ability to serve other people. And when people are really hungry for a sense of purpose in their lives. Yeah. And when you spend all day in an organization or a lot of hours that you don't feel connected to the purpose, then it really, it's very negative for all of the culture, for your communities, et cetera. So, you know, and in business, often there's this reverse where people, you know, they have a business, they're making money. They're like, oh, well, how do we build community around our product?
Right.
You have to build community within your organization in an authentic way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be perfect. And that's the trick is, and that's why I brought up my son is I had to parent him as an extremely imperfect person.
Wow.
But my authenticity and my honesty about it.
Yes.
And my willingness and ability to come back and say, listen, whatever happened here, totally unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing the best I can. This is how I plan to do it moving forward. Yeah. And that I learned that from business.
Yeah.
I had one of the most amazing mentors, and she ruined me forever.
Almost. Right. Because you can't go back, because once you know better, you've got to do better now.
Exactly. Exactly. But, and that the same thing is true within organizations. We live in a culture that has these dual perspectives of you're either good or bad, right or wrong.
Right.
And the truth is both things are often true at the same time. Two people may have different understandings of a thing, and there's truth in both of those things. And instead of trying to eradicate one, then looking at what is valuable and how to use what's valuable in those from those perspectives to move forward, and using frameworks like the Six Levers Organizational Framework, the Hero's Journey, et cetera, diversity becomes the norm and the expected, and not this weird tension point, but something that's actually highly valued. I also use the Clifton Strengths assessment. So I don't know if you're familiar with that.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yes. Go for it.
So valuable.
Yes. Do you want to elaborate a little bit?
So the Clifton Strengths assessment is something that was developed by Gallup.
Okay.
So, you know, which is one of the biggest data aggregation organizations for business. They developed this concept that there is a mix of 34 strengths that most people have some level of.
Okay.
And instead of working really, really hard to overcome the things that you're not great at or that you're terrible at, being able to identify how strong you are or which strengths you're very strong in, then that's your area, that's your genius zone and your area of expertise. And it's important to continue to develop that. Now, one of the great, and it, you, everyone is still going to have to figure out how to manage the things that maybe they're not great at. But one of the most incredible things about the concept of the Clifton Strengths is when you look at hiring practices, typically people will hire based on what they think is important or valuable. And it's usually based on what they're good at.
Oh.
So you often end up, if you're not careful, with a very lopsided team. And so you think, oh, well, this person's very organized. Great. They're perfect. So you have a bunch of people who are super organized and love to check boxes. But right. when you need to be innovative, where are your innovators?
Mm.
Right. So it's all about balancing your team. And then as a leader, being able to balance, you know, the things that you're really strong at, and then finding someone who's really great at the things that maybe you're not so strong at.
Absolutely.
And so by having that mentality, it's no longer these dualistic, like, they're doing it right, they're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
But you can see how this person, maybe they forget what time the meeting is sometimes, which isn't necessarily acceptable.
Yeah.
And the networks that they bring have transformed our business and our capabilities. And yeah. the fact that they can connect immediately with anyone has driven our sales sky high.
Yeah.
You know, or this person doesn't seem very engaged, doesn't really want to connect during the social hour or whatever, but man, your systems are clean. When you need to find the contact information for this potential client or whatever,
right.
it's all there. They're on top of it. And they make sure like all your systems are running very smoothly. So, and you know, diversity, I think when we talk, diversity is a big topic of conversation because, you know, there are a lot of DEI initiatives sure. that often aren't as effective as I think a lot of people would hope that they are.
Yeah.
And when you are able to integrate valuing different perspectives, different points of view, different expertise, different backgrounds, you're able to create a whole structure that's just inherently.
It's going to come up. Yeah. It's going to come to the forefront.
Exactly. And wow. the more and more we look forward and AI is developed and yeah. technology accelerates, what's really valuable is the critical thinking skills of the human and the diversity of experience. So,
wow. You know what? It's just an absolute pleasure to speak with you. You have so much. When you said you did all the things, Anne's done all the things. I thought I did all the things. You are a soldier, a wonderful person. I am so it's a pleasure to know you and see that you're putting your talents to work here and sharing this with us and the world. I think that you are brave and a badass, you know, and love to have you back. And if you wanted to share more about your story, your backstory, I think that'll really give some startups, some entrepreneurs, some courage and some support because it gets scary out there, man, as an entrepreneur. Scary. It can get real hairy real fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's really like having a support network. So important.
Oh my goodness. Guys, I want you to connect with the Bravery Strategy. Let's get your socials. Let's get your plugs. How can people book? I'm sure they can go online and book a session with you, but give us that info if you could.
Yeah, for sure. So it's super easy. Our website is thebraverystrategy.com. And you can book through there. You can send us a little note if you just want some more information, or you can book a time to connect and speak with me, actually. And I can get an assessment of what you're looking for and what might work for you. And then we will be very active on Instagram very shortly.
Okay.
And that's at the Bravery Strategy as well. So those are the two places that are the best to reach us right now.
Right now. Okay, great. And then, so for this next quarter in 2023, do you foresee yourself taking on more food and beverage clients?
Yes.
Or where that's where you kind of your meat and potatoes
yeah.
is?
Okay. Yeah. And so we do have a lot of one-on-one clients right now who are looking to, or who have just started their businesses or have businesses, but sort of weren't sure how to focus it.
Yes.
So we've been working with a lot of clients like that. We do have some food and beverage, and then that's where we will be moving. And that's where we'll be focusing is the food and beverage clients. But we are also putting together some programs for the one-on-ones.
Okay.
And those we are looking to develop a way to provide that in a very accessible way through pre-recorded videos and activities, things like that.
Wonderful. Thank you for spending part of your Mother's Day with us. Yeah. Enjoy New York. Enjoy Mother's Day. Thank you so much for bringing your bravery and your strategy here. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to connect you with some of my food and beverage connects. I think are you going to be at the New York Food and Wine? It's coming.
We won't not. No, not this year. But
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought maybe you'd be lurking around. I'm going to be there in time for Tribeca and that. So we will connect anyway. I have some people on the West Coast I think would benefit from knowing you. All right, guys. Thank you, Anne. And as usual, what will you start up today? I'll see you guys next Sunday with new sunglasses. Bye.
Bye. Good to see you.
You're listening to The Startup with Monique Leray, only on LA Talk Radio.